talent, like I said, can only take you so far, but most of our guys, most of our hardest workers have been our better players. And if you have that within your team, you're going to be fine.
Welcome to the Champion Series on Coaching Coordinator Podcast, presented by Signature Championship Rings. In today's episode, we have the privilege of speaking with a coach who has led his team to multiple state championships. We sit down with Andy Capone, the head coach of Weddington High School in North Carolina, and a four-time state champion coach. With a track record of success and a commitment to developing leadership and a culture of competition within his team, Coach Capone has elevated his program to an elite level. He shares insight into his coaching philosophy, off-season strategies, and the keys to sustaining success at an elite level. Stay tuned for our Winning Edge takeaways following the interview. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free one-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158 or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes. On today's Champion Series podcast, we're talking with a four-time state champion from North Carolina Weddington High School, the head coach there, Andy Capone. So, Andy, great to have you here on our Champion Series.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Just really appreciate it. Love all your stuff and what you guys are doing for the game and the coaching community.
I appreciate that, Coach. And we're excited to dig into some of the things that have helped bring your school to the top champs in 2023. You've been a part of three other state championships, one as an assistant, the other two as head coach in 16, 18, and 19. So you guys have been able to bring your program to an elite level where you guys are making some regular appearances there in the state championship and winning some of those. And before we got going, we talked a little bit about those things that help your program. And one of the things you pointed out is it's player-led, that you guys get things organized for the offseason and then turn it over to the kids. And, you know, for you, how long have you taken that approach where the offseason really belongs to them and their leadership?
You know, when I got the job, we had just finished up another deep run and our coach retired and went down to South Carolina. And, you know, I applied and got the job at 26. So I was young and trying to figure stuff out. But we had everybody but four seniors coming back, so we felt really good. But you know, I felt like we needed to build some, you know, leadership, and I think that's one of the things that maybe kids don't really have as much anymore, or have to find a way to find it, is developing leadership. You know, I think some kids view it as just yelling at kids and getting on their butts, and other kids, you know, are quiet about it and just go about their work and you know, do it maybe not as vocal. But I think that's definitely one thing. And we do some leadership stuff and all that. But we created the off-season competition stuff. And I know a lot of people do it. But, you know, we go to the local Hickory Tavern and, you know, we draft and they eat. And, you know, everybody kind of sees. And I put where they get drafted because I want kids to know what their kids think about them, not only as, you know, an athlete, but, you know, some of the stuff that we do is grades. You know, A's and B's give you extra points. AP classes get you extra points. D's and F's, you lose points. Every zero at the end of the 6 weeks, I calculate and lose points. So, you know, academics is always huge for that. But also getting an email about a teacher writing you up, or getting an email saying, hey, so-and-so is being awesome in class. We really appreciate it. That adds points. So all that stuff. And then it's competing. Kids play so much, whether it be 7-on-7, travel baseball, travel basketball. I don't think some kids understand the importance of competing all the time. And I think that's one thing that I still struggle with in our program and ultimately, you know, in our school sometimes, is that they're okay with losing. And I don't work that way. I'm not wired that way. So everything they do is about competing and winning. And I think that's one of the things that we've really had success with, whether it be badminton, we played the other week before spring break, any crazy thing, a tire pull, any of that stuff. it's about competing. It's about winning. And it's not okay if they don't win. And I want, you know, the captains, the leaders to start voicing that to their team. And I hope it can spread throughout. Just look, you're not going to win every game. You darn sure hope you can. And you want to make sure you understand it, winning is important and competing is important. So I think that's one of the things we brought into the off season, and they've kind of really built it. They've enjoyed it. They like the draft. They have a board. They dress up. They do all that. So, you know, we're always looking to expand on it and stuff. But for them, learning how to lead and learning how to compete has been one of the big things for us as a team, because we can say it all we want. It's their team. They're the ones that make the plays. And on Fridays, after we kick off, you know, we get maybe 10 to 15% of it is coaching, I think. And that might be a little high. You know, they got to make the plays. Whether I call a good play or not, whether we call a good defense or not, you know, we just got good players. And if they believe they can make plays and do it together, then they're going to be fine. And we're going to keep having success.
Yeah. The competition aspect of the season, those things bring out a lot of things that you want. And I see other guys have, you know, curriculums put together for it. I think when you can have that framework of competition, some of those things come out naturally. And certainly you get more of those teachable moments with it too, as you're looking at these little competitions, whatever they might be. And it's something, you know, I became aware of the competitions, I don't know if it's between 20 and 25 years ago. I remember reading an article in the AFCA magazine by Jerry Kill and what they were doing at Southern Illinois with their competitions. That was the first I've seen this. I think there was another article in American Football Monthly about that. And I started doing our own version of it. We did it at the college level as well. And, you know, it starts with the draft. And I think that's a key component to it, because it tells everybody a little bit about the team and where people stand, from the guys who are, you know, maybe elected the captains of this thing for these different teams, as well as who's the first taken, who's the last taken, where was your draft spot? And it has those conversations, like you said, of why. We could dig into, hey, why do your teammates see you here? What are you doing? That's good. What do you need to do better? And it's some of those things become motivational in and of themselves.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some of our better athletes and better players right now that maybe don't have their grades where they want to be, or attendance can be up and down. You know, they're not drafted in the first, second, or third round, and everybody's, some kids act shocked, but it's really not a shock to us. And as coaches, as you listen to them talk about, you know, their teammates, it kind of opened your eyes as to, hey, we might need to, you know, look at this kid and figure out what's going on and see why, you know, kids think, you know, a little less of what we feel like. And, or, hey, this guy's a first round pick and, you know, he's a guy we might not look at as much as someone that can really help us, but maybe we need to take a second look and why. And, you know, I think with the competition part, it's also, as you know, there's kids that really step up to it. There's kids that shy away from it. If a kid, you know, we do a tire pull, three-way tire pull, and we just have people call some kids out. And, you know, there's some guys that you look at, like someone that can be help us in the fall, that they shy away and they want no part of it. And that says, are you really a competitor or not? You know, and also when you're playing badminton or handball or something goofy and they're not very skilled at it, are they just going to act like they don't care and stop? And that shows a lot about it. And you talk about adversity all the time, but things aren't always going to go your way. And if you're struggling at something, you got to find a way to get better at it. You're struggling at math or science, you're going to go get a tutor. They're struggling at a sport or they're struggling at this competition, and they shy away, you know, are you really going to compete when times get tough? And that's one of those things that I think has really been eye-opening as you listen to the draft, you listen to that, and you listen as you go through the season. Hey, I want him off my team. I said, well, it's not that easy. You know, you got to find a way to get him motivated to raise to your level. And I think they find out how hard it is sometimes to get kids at that level, because ultimately you're never going to have everybody at the same level as people caring, as people working as hard. And that's part of football. That's part of life. There's going to be kids that walk out on the field that are more talented and gifted than others. And they're going to end up being successful to some extent. But at the same time, when they get to the next level, they're going to have those people that are just as talented as them. That's what we're trying to do, to push them to figure out how to work and how to make themselves better and excel at what they do.
Yeah, I think those situations really help you identify, you know, especially you put them in something like, I mean, most kids are not playing badminton, right? So that's not necessarily somebody's out there and has this elite skill. They're going to be frustrated. And it shows, I think, that particular situation or anything that's a little bit different, right? This is not football stuff you're doing, but it's still important to telling you who these players are. I mean, it shows, does that kid have a fixed mindset where he says, oh, I'm not good at this, I'm not going to try, or has he got a growth mindset where you're going to struggle through it and find it a way to do a better way? And it's like you said, there's opportunities here then to coach a guy through it. Like, hey, you know, I noticed you just gave up on that. What are you thinking here? And trying to coach him through that mindset, that's going to win for you on Friday nights.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the kids have fun with it and they enjoy it. But at the same time, you know, you try and get the message apart of just competing all the time and getting your group to excel at whatever it is. And I think, you know, we do some stuff where we have to split teams up and watch them try and work through how do we want to separate our teams? How do we want to go against this and that? I think it's been really good for us and something that they always enjoy. You know, they're always asking as soon as we finish the season is when's the draft and who's this? And you talked about earlier about the captains, is there some people that do get upset about it? And I have those conversations of why I didn't choose you or why I chose them. And, you know, I think we do everything for a purpose, whether we need someone to excel as growing as a leader, whether we need somebody to figure out how to lead a little better. But we always tell them just because you're not technically a team captain doesn't mean you can't lead. And that's something that some seniors that weren't chosen as captains have to figure out of, hey, I'm not technically the team captain, but I can still be a leader in our group and in our team for sure.
As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser. As you guys head into the summer, your summer might look a little bit different than others in that you do have the ability to practice in your state. I know this varies from place to place, but you make the summer about football.
Yeah.
About those installs. And yes, you still lift. Yes, you still run. You do some 7-on-7s, but the summer's the opportunity really to teach. And now, you know, take all that competitiveness, leadership, all those things you developed in the offseason and start applying it to the game.
Yeah. Our rules, you have to have a hand shield in between you, you know, during the summer and all that. But, you know, you can go in uppers. And from the day of graduation, we graduate in the morning and we practice in the afternoon, in the evening. So for us, you know, I've been doing it since high school. My, you know, old high school coach, we've been practicing and that's just what we believed in. And then the defensive coordinator that was with me in high school, got the head job at Weddington, and I came with him out of college. So something I've just always known. But to me, listening to other coaches come in that I've hired or other kids come in, they say it's one of the things that really makes a difference in us. You know, we have all that offseason to lift, and we're going to continue to lift and maintain our strength and continue to grow. And to be honest, our kids do such a good job of going and get their own lifts in during the summer anyway. But for us, we're on the field and we're practicing. We're installing. We have our eighth graders going into ninth grade up, and they're practicing from day one. We're getting everything in, you know, our base, what we do off of our base, our sevens and all that. But really during the practice, we really focus on run game, front seven stuff, and obviously techniques and stuff, because we're going to have a couple 7-on-7s throughout the summer. We're going to go to at least two tournaments. It goes back to the competing part. I don't care if people say it's real football or not. I have my thoughts about sevens and my agreements and disagreements about it. But at the end of the day, you're competing and you're getting that sixth, seventh game on turf at 2 o'clock in North Carolina. And it's 95 degrees and there's people going to want to lay out, but there's also people that are going to keep going. And once again, it shows you a lot about who they are as a person, as a competitor. But for me, I don't know. I want to use all of our time right. And for us, it's awesome. I love practice. I know kids don't love practice, but man, we have so many skilled players and good players that, you know, they got to make sure they're ready to go all summer and figuring out and getting our team where we need to be before we head to camp. Especially last year, our attendance was awesome for these older guys. They're out of town. If they got a lacrosse tournament, they got that. It's not like they're sitting at home playing video games, but if they're in town, they're here. they're practicing, and it gives them a step up, another level up for them to get on the field early for them. And that's ultimately, hopefully, what they want to do, to make the team and to get on the field and not be on the sideline watching. So we enjoy it. I coach the O-line. I love inside run. I love all that stuff. So for be able to get, you know, reps and reps and reps of power, counter, any of that stuff that we run, and then be able to add to it as we get into camp and preseason, I think really helps us expand our offense and the diversity of our offense that we're able to use.
What does that summer look like for you, days of the week and the amount of time those guys are expected to be there?
Yeah, we're Monday through Thursday. I always said, you give me 4 days, I'll give you three. We like to do our tournaments on a Thursday. Our parents like to travel. They like the little three-day getaways. So, you know, we're Monday through Thursday. We're in the mornings as much as we can. I do a middle school camp, that young kids camp that, you know, we've got about 120 out there every year, which is also a thing that's kind of grown our program, getting into the middle school as well. But we're in the afternoons there, 5 to 7:30 with a 4 o'clock lift. And then if we're in the mornings, we're 8:30 to 11 with an 11 to 12 o'clock lift, 2 days with the older guys, 2 days with the younger guys, you know, just working on stuff like that. So we're on the field 2.5 hours with 45 or so minutes on each side of the ball. And then a special teams every day in the summer. And I think the thing we like about special teams in the summer is there's so many kids in and out. Everyone's got to learn it, because I think some kids in high school and really everywhere don't see the importance of special teams, but we teach it to everybody in the summer because we have kids out of town, in and out, and all that. And that way everybody has at least a baseline of what we expect if you're a gunner, what you expect if you're on special team, if you're on kickoff, kickoff return, and all that stuff. So we practice both sides every day, just like we do in the season. We've gotten away from kind of playing kids both ways just because of our numbers and all that, but we're definitely not against it. My thought is if they're going to go play in college, they're probably only going to play one side of the ball. They're going to sit on the sideline for the other half. So in high school, I want my best players on the field, especially in crunch time. And if they're that, if they're a dude like that, they should want to be on the field. So we train everybody both ways, just in case we need them and they're ready to go. And we've had those instances because injuries do happen. But, you know, really they're there from 8, because our kids get there early, to noon at the latest. So then they still get the rest of their day to go do what they want, go, you know, chase girls or go to the pool or go get another arm pump in. So I don't think it's anything crazy, and we try and have fun with them and all that, but we're still getting a bunch of work in. We're still getting everything in, and it's shown to have a lot of success.
Before we got to talking here as we were recording, the one thing you said you've been hearing quite a bit is that a lot of coaches, a lot of people who watch you guys play say that you guys play harder than most others. Do you think that's the result of, one, having this competition-driven offseason that just instills some of that, and then two, spending the time on learning the game so you can get out there when August hits, when September hits, and play with confidence because you know this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are definitely two things. I can't really pinpoint it exactly. Ever since I've been here as an assistant, our kids just find ways to play hard. Kids play hard, don't get me wrong, but I feel like our kids have that little extra push and a little extra finish and a little extra physicality. And I think it's a lot, like you said, of putting them through competitions, putting them through stuff, and putting them through a lot of football in the summer, you know, where, like, you know, they do play fast. Now, we can always learn the game better. We have a football class first period with 65 guys, and we've kind of, you know, obviously we're lifting, we're doing our mat drills, but we've tried to focus a lot of it too, you know, at least once or twice a week on just understanding the game of football. I think it gets lost a lot when these kids look at TikToks or plays. They don't really understand why they're doing it, what this is and that. So we've tried to really put an emphasis on just understanding the game. But it's something cool to hear from other coaches. We have talented kids, don't get me wrong. We've got, you know, we sent 9 to college last year. We got 2 kids going to get drafted this year, Malik Mustafa out of Wake and Will Shipley out of Clemson, and another one, Alec Mock, that played 4 years at Air Force, that's going to get a chance either late or undrafted. So we have really good players. We have, you know, 6 kids with offers right now in the underclassmen. We got this and that. But at the end of the day, when those guys play hardest, practice hard, and are your best weight room kids, you know you're going to be successful. And I think that's something that they've learned from those older guys. And as they come back and, you know, they're always paying attention to their pro days, this and that, and they come back and talk to those kids, they understand the work that's put in. Talent, like I said, can only take you so far, but most of our guys, most of our hardest workers have been our better players. And if you have that within your team, you're going to be fine. And also, they don't allow people not to play hard. They don't allow people not to to get what, you know, to get done what needs to be done. Now, I'll say in practice, it's not the best. You know, if coaches come watch us during the week, they're probably like, how is this team winning? But not everybody's going to practice great. And we can do a better job as a staff to figure out how to practice better. But also, we just know our kids are going to play hard Friday. The game plan's in, all that stuff's in. And we know they're going to go out there and give us everything you got. And, you know, we hope more times than not, it's going to end up successful. And they've shown that.
We started off talking about how the offseason is about setting these guys up, making sure they have the ability to draft their teams and then go and create these competitions. And likewise, you really believe in letting your coaches coach. That's not an area that all of a sudden you start micromanaging that you need guys who go out and do their jobs and you don't want to micromanage them.
No, I mean, you have a staff for a reason. And ultimately, you know, I make the final decisions, but I always weigh in what everybody else thinks. And I don't ever want to feel like I'm stepping on any coach's toes. You hire them for a reason. You give them a position for a reason. And you want to be around them for a reason, you know, to coach hard, to coach young men. And I feel like, you know, all of our guys have one set mindset. While things may differ here and there and opinions always, you know, differ during the season, we always let the coaches speak what we feel like. And ultimately I have to make the final decision of what I feel like's best, but it doesn't go without hearing them. You know, when I got hired, like I said, I was young and there's a lot going on. I don't think you're ever ready to be a head coach because there's always something that comes up you're not ready for. We had 6 or 7 coaches that when our coach decided to retire, Coach Carson retired, it was, hey, if you get the job, we're staying. I'm staying. I want it. So to have that belief from older men and all that, you just feel like, hey, we can be successful with this group. And being able to keep continuity in your staff is huge. We've obviously lost 1 or 2 guys, but the main group has stayed together with me for our 6 years. And we don't have any staff change going into this year. At some point, some other coaches are going to leave to be head coaches, and deservingly so. But the longer we can keep our staff together, I think the better off we're going to be. And there's a reason there's a coach in front of their first name or last name. It's for them to coach. And I run the offense, but our position coaches coach the hell out of their positions. And at the end of the day, our defense guys, they give up 14 points a game, if that. So what am I going to do to say? If they got questions, I'll give them my advice. I'll show them or tell them what I see. But, I mean, those guys know what they're doing better than I do on that side of the ball. And I'm not afraid to admit it. I just know I'm going to let them do what they need to do. Coach Hall, the D.C., comes up with great plans every week. He always runs it by. Hey, do you care if we do that? I said, Coach, just stop him. Get us the ball back. That's all I care about. And, you know, I think that's something that they appreciate too, is that they feel like they can be their own person. They can add their own thing into what they want to do defensively, and even us, what we want to do offensively, and not feel like if it doesn't work, I'm going to lose my mind. Or if it doesn't work, I'm going to get mad. I think a lot of things work, a lot of things don't. Let's throw it out there, see if it does. And you know, it gives them the confidence to be able to be their own person and bring ideas to the table to ultimately make our team and our kids better. And there's always egos, but there's not egos. You know, we can't coach successful with having coaches' egos. And I don't ever want coaches to feel like they can't throw something out and, hey, it doesn't work, but let's throw something else out, see if that works.
So you guys were able to repeat 18, 19, go back to back there. That's always a challenge after you win one, is because you have that target on your back.
Yeah.
What are the keys to being able to put your team in the best possible spot so that they do have the chance to defend and win another state championship?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, we felt good about maybe three-peating before COVID hit, you know, and then when Shipley went to Clemson and we played in the spring, things happened. We didn't get it done, but, you know, we're glad to be back. And in 22, we played in the semifinal. We lost by one. And then this year, we were able to get back. So I think for us is after you win, you know, one of the college coaches that came in and told me, you're always chasing. And I think it's a good thing, but it's also a thing that probably makes me so paranoid, is in 18 was my first year and we won it in my first year. And it's like, where do you go from there? And we were 15-1 and, you know, people joke, but it's like, where do you go from there? And I was like, I guess we got to go undefeated and win it. And in 19, we went undefeated and win it, you know, and then it's like, where do you go from there? And we were 3A then, and now we're up in 4A, which is the highest in North Carolina. So I guess we got it done this year. And so you're always chasing. And as much as you appreciate it, it's also why I and the kids will tell me why I'm so paranoid. So you try and teach humility. You try and tell them you got X on your back. And you really, you do. people want to bring you down. People want to bring people at the top down. Unfortunately, that's just part of society, and they want to see us fall, and they want to see us fail. And, you know, I think for us, we're not afraid to talk about it. We're not afraid to tell our kids that we should be where we're at. We should be practicing on Thanksgiving every year. But just to be honest with them, you know, and making sure they understand you're going to have people coming out for you, you know. So, hey, you got to do the right things on and off this field. You got to do things right in the community, because every time you wear that W on your chest and that Weddington, people either want to latch on and join the bandwagon, or they want to see you fall. And so we've talked about it, and we try and portray it, and we play a tough schedule. You know, I think that's another thing that gets us ready. You know, we open up with Providence Day, who's one of the best teams in North Carolina year in and year out. Last year we played Dutch Fork, you know, Tommy Knotts, who's a legend in North Carolina and South Carolina, really in high school football. And we brought our kids down there. We weren't afraid of the moment. Ended up getting a huge win for us that kind of catapulted us into the run we made. And this year we're playing Westside, who won the 4A state championship down in South Carolina. So, one, a lot of teams don't want to play us anymore. That's one thing. But two, we're going to find great competition, and we're going to go compete every day. And I think that really helps us as we get into the playoffs, because you're never going to play anybody that's not good. North Carolina on the west side of the bracket is loaded with Division I talent, with great coaching and good teams, and you're going to get in a gauntlet no matter what. So for us, having those experiences playing good teams and letting them understand everyone's going to try and knock you down, I think just prepares them when it actually comes and gives them the confidence that it doesn't matter who we play, it doesn't matter how many stars that quarterback has, we have the better team, and we believe that. And, you know, ultimately the team's going to win over one guy. And we've just felt like that's continued to be successful for us, and something that our kids kind of understand going into it is that X is on our back. And the more we continue to win, the bigger it gets. And we might as well just welcome it and embrace it and just get ready to go.
Well, Coach, certainly best of luck to you and the Warriors here in 2024 as you look to defend your state championship. I really appreciate you taking the time and giving us some insight into the program.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Again, thanks for all you're doing for the coaching community. It's awesome, and I definitely tune in all the time to listen.
Here are Winning Edge takeaways and ideas for implementation. One, set yourself up for a player-led approach. Foster a culture of player leadership and ownership within the team. Allow your players to take charge of leading the off-season activities and competitions, as this can help develop leadership skills, enhance teamwork, and instill a sense of responsibility among your team members. Two, emphasize competition. Focus on instilling a competitive mindset in players by emphasizing the importance of competing at all times. Encourage players to strive for success, whether it be in games, practices, or off-season competitions. This competitive mentality can drive players to continuously improve and excel in their performance. If you haven't set up an off-season competition, I've found that even a 4 to 6 week period of competition can help your team make big strides in allowing players to lead and create a competitive environment that will translate to the season. And I highly recommend doing the draft to get it started. And three, foster consistent learning and preparation. Dedicate time to teaching players the game of football comprehensively, beyond just the physical skills. Invest in educating players on strategic aspects of the game, preparing them mentally and tactically. Prioritize thorough preparation through off-season practices, skill development, and game analysis to ensure readiness for challenging opponents and situations. I've heard from many coaches about the challenges of helping players understand the game, because they just don't sit and watch games end to end like we used to. They get it in short clips on social media. So spending the time teaching the game, especially as it applies to your strategies, is well worth the time. Be sure to check out our partner, Signature Championship Rings. They're the leading designer and supplier of championship rings, serving over 10,000 teams and organizations. Follow All We Are Doing on X @CoachKGrabowski, and sign up for a weekly newsletter at coachandcoordinator.com.